Have any of you noticed that as we get older, we tend to forget things sometimes? Well, I'm glad that you haven't. I got a new way of describing it the other day. It's like you have this thought, but then this airplane is flying over. When it gets right on top of you, it just sucks that thought out and flies away. I had a very, very important announcement that I had meant to make at the beginning of earlier, and during the prayer time, Michelle reminded me of it. I have been blessed now for a number of years to have two inherited grandchildren and five inherited great-grandchildren. But as of 5:15 yesterday morning, I now have my first biological great-grandson. His name is Jeremiah Cash Stone Jr., and they're going to call him Cash. How blessed can you be? Our scripture lesson this morning comes out of the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'll be reading the first 9 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all of those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all of your speaking and in all of your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are two men this morning that I want to tell you about who realized the American dream. They both grew up in the same small community in East Tennessee and held the same job in the little one-room schoolhouse that they attended. They were responsible for building a fire in the stove every morning and making sure that enough water for the day had been drawn from the well. After graduation, the older of the two crossed the mountain and settled in Knoxville. He had just married, and they had enough money to rent a building that was 2-story. Had an area downstairs that was where he opened a little grocery store, and an area upstairs where he and his new bride set up housekeeping. Now, it was back during the Depression. It was not a good time to start a business. People didn't have much money to spend, but he wanted to try this. And so he came up with an idea. beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning, every Saturday morning, on the hour until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he would release a live chicken from his upstairs bedroom. And the chicken, of course, would flutter down to the ground, and whoever caught the chicken was guaranteed to have fresh meat in the pot on Sunday. And so people came from all over Knox County hoping that they would be one of the eight that would be fortunate enough to catch the chicken. Well, of course, while they were there, they bought groceries, meager supplies, but they would buy something. And so the business began to grow until the time came when this man's grocery stores covered East Tennessee like a blanket. His name was Kaz Walker. The other man that I want to tell you about graduated from school, went to Florida to go to college, and then he went to pharmacy school, and then he opened an unusual drugstore in St. Petersburg. His name was Doc Webb, and the name of the drugstore was Webb City. It became the prototype for Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid. It was the first of its kind. Now, we enjoy stories like that, don't we? The story of rags to riches. We like the stories of successful people. But I wonder this morning what it is that really makes a person successful and wealthy. Is there some kind of fickle finger of fate? Try that several times. Is there some kind of fickle finger of fate that goes around pointing at people saying doctor, lawyer, candlestick maker, rich man, poor man, Indian chief? What is it that makes us wealthy? Paul says there's no doubt what it is. Paul says it has nothing to do with stuff. I don't know about you, but my house is stuffed with stuff. What are you shaking your head about? I have too much stuff. As a matter of fact, I have so much stuff that I have stuff up in my attic that I hadn't unstuffed since not the time I moved where I am now or the time that I moved where I was before, but way back 2006 when Brenda and I moved to the lake full time. Stuff. Paul says it has nothing to do with stuff. Paul says it has to do with Jesus. Paul says it has everything to do with a personal relationship of the God of the ages through Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible, there are many stories of faith and relationship. There's Simon Peter, the uncouth fisherman. There's Matthew, the despised tax collector. There's Mary Magdalene, a woman of the streets. And there's Saul, the persecutor of the church, who became Paul and then went around the whole eastern seaboard saying, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep anything and everything that I have committed unto him against whatever comes my way. Read the stories of them all. Read about the imprisoned Christians who went out into the arena to be torn to bits by wild beasts. Those who were impaled on crosses like their Lord, soaked in pitch and set afire. Those who were sentenced to rot in prison. And you'll hear every one of them singing praises to God. Read about the Luthers and the Wesleys and the Asburys, and when you've finished, ask yourself the question, why? How? Why were all of these people changed from being phonies into the real thing? How did it happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It happened in every case and without exception because they finally said yes to Him. They grew sick and tired of the kind of people they were, gave themselves totally to God, and formed a personal relationship, a life-changing daily relationship. It's this relationship with Christ that I want to talk to us about this morning. One that Paul says that when we enter into that relationship, He will enrich our whole lives. Did you know this morning that as Christians we have been called to be rich? That we're not poor people, we're rich people. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul emphasizes our wealth. He says, first of all, in Christ, we have been given every spiritual gift we need to be the person that God called us to be and to be the church that God called us to be. Look at verse 7. Paul says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed in your midst. I wonder if you know that personally this morning. That you're who you are because God made you that way. That you have spiritual gifts because God gave them to you. That He has given you every spiritual gift you need. He's given the person next to you every spiritual gift they need. He's given me the gifts that I need so that we can be the people and the church He created us to be. But so often we forget that in the troubled world in which we live, we often forget the living, loving, empowering, enabled presence of God within us. I don't know how troubled you are, but I'm troubled that it seems like every day a new shooting pops up on my screen, in my telephone. At a outlet mall in Texas yesterday, for no apparent reason, it's tough. And it's easy to forget who God is and that He's with us every step of the way. And so Paul wants to remind us of who we are in Him. We're not poor people, we're rich people. Because as God's people, He has given us every spiritual gift we need. So that you're weak where I'm strong, and I'm strong where you're weak. And you use your gifts and abilities, and I use mine, and together we build the church. You don't have to do it right now. But sometime when you're sitting here in the sanctuary waiting for the service to begin, open your Methodist hymnals to the front, and in the Roman numeral section, you'll find printed in there some directions that John Wesley wrote for singing. He says, "When you sing, sing modestly. Do not bawl," that is B-A-W-L, don't holler out, "so as to be heard above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, but rather strive to unite your voices together in one clear, melodious sound." And that's the sound that the Church of Jesus Christ ought to make. One clear, melodious sound, proclaiming the riches of faith in Christ Jesus. We're rich people. We're not poor people, because God has given us spiritual gifts, but He has also invited us to share in the wonderful fellowship of believers in Him, so that in Him and with each other, we're together. I thank God that I was born into a dedicated Christian home. I've been a part of the church all my life. And the church has always been there for me, to love me and teach me and encourage me and feed me the bread of life. And there have been times in my life when I've wandered off into the far country. But you know what? The church always has welcomed me back into the redemptive, loving arms of Jesus. I'm so glad to be a part of the church. The bride of Christ, the body of believers. Our United Methodist ritual says all people of every age and every station in life stand in need of the means of grace which only the church supplies. No, we're not poor people. We're rich people. We have the blessed fellowship of the living body of Christ. For many years, Riley Short, the son of a Methodist bishop, was the pastor of the Coral Gables United Methodist Church in Florida. And he tells a story about how one day he had gone to the Shands Hospital in Gainesville to visit a patient, but the doctor was in the room of the patient at the time, and they asked him to wait in the waiting room, and he did, and there was a little girl there. And he got into a conversation with her, and he found out that she was there in the hospital to have eye surgery for the 7th time. That's tough. Anytime you're a child or anytime you have surgery, it's tough. And this is now the 7th time that she's had to have her eyes operated on. And they got into a conversation, and he said, "Gloria, I'm a preacher. Do you know what a preacher is?" And she said, "I sure do. I go to Sunday school and church every Sunday." She says, and I know that Jesus died for me and rose again on Easter, and because of that, I'm going to live forever. Riley said, oh, Gloria, are you a Methodist? She said, no, I'm a Baptist. And he said, well, I'm a Methodist, and I believe those things too. He said, and I believe that God wants to bless you and heal you, and I want to have a prayer with you. Is that okay? And she said, no, I'd like that, and he prayed with her. When he finished, the nurse came to get Riley, and so he said to the little girl, I hope that everything goes well during your operation. I'll be thinking about you and praying for you. And he started down the hall, hadn't gotten very far when he heard her crying out behind him, hey, preacher. And he turned around and he said, yes, Gloria. And she said, hey, preacher, don't ever forget me. Riley went back and took that little girl in his arms. He said, no, Gloria, I won't ever forget you. And God won't ever forget you either. The haunting verse of that little girl saying, oh, preacher, don't ever forget me. That's the cry of humanity today. It expresses the aching need that's in the heart of every person in every pew and in every community. People are crying out to be needed and loved and remembered and accepted and forgiven. And the greatest of that is Jesus. We're not poor people, we're rich people because He has invited us into this divine fellowship and we are truly blessed. We're also not poor but rich because we have the spiritual gifts and the wonderful fellowship, but also we've been given the gift of God's grace. We sang about it at the beginning of the service, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Many years ago, there was a young man who was quite a poet. As a matter of fact, it seemed like he always spoke in rhymes. His father was a minister, one of those stern, uptight kind. And he used to get real upset with his son's habit of constantly talking in rhymes. And he said, son, if you don't quit doing that, I'm going to spank the poetry right out of you. The boy looked at his father and said, oh, father, do some pity take, and no more poetry will I make. His father immediately put him over his knee and endeavored to knock the poetry out of him. But it didn't work. One day he took his pen in hand and he wrote these words. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Isaac Watts was that little boy. And he came to understand something of the greatness of the grace of Jesus Christ that is freely offered to all of us through the cross of Calvary. We're not the realm of nature mind, or were the whole realm of nature mind, that would be an offering far too small. For love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And that's the grace of Jesus Christ that is poured out for every one of us today. The grace that reminds us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The grace that loves us and forgives us no matter what we do. The grace that causes us to know that we're not poor people, but rich people. made rich by Jesus Christ. A minister was in his study working on his sermon one day. He was deep in concentration. He had closed the door so that he could be alone. Suddenly, unexpectedly, the door burst open and his daughter came running in, and she said with a great big smile on her face, "Daddy, guess what? Oh, Daddy, it's wonderful." The minister said to the little girl, "Didn't you see that the door was closed? You just interrupted me. You came in here without even knocking, and I'm in here working on this sermon. Please leave me alone. I'll talk to you later." And close the door like you found it. For just a moment, all of the joy went out of that little girl's face. But she did as her daddy told her to do. She closed the door and left. He went back to trying to write his sermon, and nothing seemed to come. Then the still small voice of God said to him, "You rascal, who do you think you are, crushing the joy out of that little girl's heart? That sermon you're working on will be long forgotten, but that little girl never will be. You better go and make up to her right now, because if you don't, you're going to have to write that sermon by yourself." He got up, went into his daughter's room, and he said, "Honey, I'm awfully sorry that I spoke so harshly to you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I need you to forgive me." And she said, "I do forgive you, Daddy." And then he said, "You were so excited, and I was just wondering what it was you were excited about." And she smiled and she said, "Oh, Daddy, it's the greatest thing. Buffy is a French dog." He said, "What would make you think that?" She said, "Oh, Daddy, he just kissed me on my hand." The minister said, "Such wisdom, honey." Then he said, "You know I'm writing this sermon today about Jesus. And if you could write a sermon to tell people something about Jesus, what would you say? What would you tell them?" That little girl was ready. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, I'd tell them that when you get lost, Jesus knows where you are and he'll help you." I want to be able to preach that sermon someday. To say it as clearly as that little girl said it. Jesus knows where you are and he'll help you. How could we not be rich people? How could we be anything else? Made rich by Jesus Christ, who has enriched our whole lives by giving us spiritual gifts, placing us in a wonderful fellowship, and through grace counting us free from all sin, death, and guilt. And that's the truth. Amen.